Good afternoon. I hope everyone had a restful Sunday afternoon. The things I'd like to talk about this evening are things that I think our culture desperately needs. We live in a culture that is very much turned around, that is very much backwards in a lot of the way they think. And in a lot of the ways, we're like the culture that Isaiah described in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, Isaiah described this. He said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." I think in a lot of ways this describes, certainly it described the culture of Israel at the time that Isaiah was prophesying. It described a nation of people who were falling away from the commandments of God. But I think in a very similar way, it describes our culture today. And perhaps it's described many cultures throughout history. But it describes our culture, a culture that calls good evil. It looks at the things that are good, the things of God, the things of His Word. And it calls those things evil. It says those things are detestable. Those things are to be avoided. But it looks to the evil things, those things that are contrary to God's will. And it calls those things good. It holds to those things and it abides in those things. We certainly live in a confused culture. But what causes this confusion? You know, all too often, I think it's because we live among a people who no longer know how to feel shame. We live among a people who no longer know how to feel shame. We live among a people who have forgotten how to blush. We have all too often lost the ability to become embarrassed. We have lost the ability to look at the evil around us, to look at the evil in our own lives and recognize that it is wrong and that we ought to be ashamed of those things. And what is the result when we have a culture that lacks the ability to blush, that lacks the ability to feel shame? Well, we have a culture that says anything goes. We have a culture with no restraints. We live in a culture that embraces things like homosexuality and abortion and sex outside of marriage. We live in a culture that embraces blatantly immodest clothing. We live in a culture where anything goes because we've forgotten how to blush. We've forgotten how to feel shame when we are engaged in sin or when we are around sin. And we are now living in a culture where people don't think twice about murdering other people just for the fun of it. We live in a culture where people don't think twice about men and women getting up on stage and dancing provocatively in ways that men and women shouldn't engage in. And that's the culture we live in, a culture that doesn't feel shame. A culture that is not embarrassed for the way that they act. So as Christians, we have a difficult task. As Christians, we are called to feel shame among a society that has forgotten how to blush. We are to be a special people for God that are set apart so that we feel shame. We know how to blush, even when the world doesn't feel any shame, doesn't feel ashamed for the things that they do. And so in order to talk about this, how we need to never forget how to blush, but rather how we can learn how to blush, I think it's helpful to go back to an example of a people who forgot how to blush. And certainly Israel was a people who forgot how to blush. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea depicts the harsh downfall of Israel, about how they were a people who committed harlotries with the other nations, who practiced prostitution, the way Hosea describes it, with the false gods, and away from the true God, that they were to have a covenant relationship. But in Hosea chapter 4, begin reading with me in verse 6. Hosea writes, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God,
I also will forget your children. The more they multiplied, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame." Hosea describes a people who felt shame. Israel felt shame at one time. God said, "I will turn their glory into shame." But read down with me, skip down to verse 18 with me, and look at what Hosea says there. He says, "Their liquor gone, they play the harlot continually. Their rulers dearly love shame. The wind wraps them in its wings, and they will be ashamed because of their sacrifices." So at one point in time, God said, "I will turn your glory into shame." But as we near the end of this chapter that Hosea is presenting, he says, "Your rulers have grown to love shame." They didn't feel shame anymore. They grew to boast in their shame. They grew to a point where they enjoyed the shameful actions that they were engaging in. Their rulers dearly love shame. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3 depicts, Jeremiah was a prophet in the downfall of Judah. He saw the worst times of Judah. And as we pick up reading in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 1, this is what he says about the shameless nation of Israel. God says, "If a husband divorces his wife and she goes from him and belongs to another man, will he still return to her? Will not that land be completely polluted? But you are a harlot with many lovers. Yet you turn to me, declares the Lord. Lift up your eyes to the bare heights and see, where have you not been violated? By the roads you have sat for them, like an Arab in the desert, and you have polluted a land with your harlotry and with your wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withheld, and there has been no spring rain. Yet you had a harlot's forehead. You refused to be ashamed." Jeremiah says, despite everything you've done, despite all the wickedness, you've committed these harlotries with the false gods. You've committed harlotries with the other nations. He says, you refused to be ashamed. Their rulers loved shame, Hosea tells us. But it went beyond that. The nation of Israel loved shame. They refused to feel ashamed for their actions that they committed against God. Turn over a few pages with me to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15. Here we find a very interesting statement. Now we know that the rulers loved shame. We know that they refused to feel shame. They refused to be ashamed. But finally, Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15. Were they ashamed because of the abomination they have done? They were not even ashamed at all. They did not even know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. It went beyond the rulers. It went beyond simple refusal of feeling shame. They had forgotten how to feel shame. Israel forgot how to blush. Israel no longer felt embarrassed for their actions. Another verse in Jeremiah chapter 8, a verse very similar to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15. But in Jeremiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 12, this is what Jeremiah writes. Speaking of Judah again, he says, "Were they ashamed because of the abomination they had done? They certainly were not ashamed, and they did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time of their punishment, they shall be brought down, says the Lord." But continue reading with me here. "I will surely snatch them away, declares the Lord. There will be no grapes on the vine and no figs on the fig tree. And the leaf will wither. And what I have given them will pass away. Why are we sitting still? Assemble yourselves and let us go into the fortified cities and let us perish there. Because the Lord our God has doomed us and given us poisoned water to drink. For we have sinned against the Lord. We waited for peace, but no good came. For a time of healing, but behold, terror." People of Judah refused to blush. They refused to the point that they no longer have the ability to feel shame. And what is the result of that? Destruction came. God sent punishment on the people of Judah. And as we continue reading, even the book of Jeremiah, we find that punishment is in the form of the Babylonian captivity coming among the people. But he punished them. He said they looked for peace. They looked for good things. They looked for everything good in the nation. But they only found terror because God punished them. God destroyed the nation of Judah. Why? because they had sinned. Not just because they had sinned, but because they didn't feel the shame of their sin. Because they forgot how to blush. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 9 in the New Testament. Romans chapter 9. I want to read for you an argument there that Paul makes. In Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. He says, "But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son." Here we see Paul telling us that not all those who are Israel are descended from Israel are Israel, but rather those who are the children of the promise. Brethren, we are the spiritual Israel. We are the people of God, and we are to be set apart. And if we are going to be the people that God demands us to be, we must learn from the example of Israel. We must see Israel's downfall. They forgot how to have shame. They forgot how to blush. And it caused them destruction. And brethren, as the spiritual Israel of God, if we forget how to blush, if we forget how to feel ashamed for our sins, we too will find ultimate destruction. So we must learn from the example of Israel. But sin always must make us feel shame. No matter what we do, no matter who we are, no matter where we are, sin must make us feel shame. And we know that Christians are to live up to a certain standard. We read of this in Matthew chapter 5. As Christians, God has set the standard for our lives. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Begin reading with me in verse 13. Here Jesus speaks on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand and gives light to all who are in the house." So here we see God has set the standard for our life. He says, you are to be the salt. You are to be the light that people see. Turn with me to another place in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, at the end of the epistle, beginning in verse 19, the apostle writes this to the young Christians. "Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good." But note verse 22. "Abstain from every form of evil." This is the standard God has called us to. You are to be the salt of the world. You are to be the light of the world. You are to abstain from every form of evil. In whatever form evil takes, Paul says, avoid it. Abstain from that. One more passage in 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Peter writes, "Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God." That's God's standard for our life, that we cease from sin, that we live according to his Son and his Son's law. We are to put away our old life. We are to put away the life of sin that we had, and we are to live like Christ, put on Christ in newness of life. But that is the standard God has set for us. What shame does is shame helps us live up to that standard. Shame helps us to recognize that standard that God has set and to live up to it. Turn with me back to the prophet Jeremiah again. In Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, this is what the prophet says. Verse 25. "Let us lie down in our shame, and let our humiliation cover us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even to this day, and we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God." He says, let our shame, let our humiliation, let our embarrassment cover us. Why? Because we have sinned. See, shame lets us know. Shame comes about as a result of sin. Shame helps us realize the standard of God and helps us to realize that we're not meeting that standard. Shame comes about as a result of sin. But look over to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 44. Psalm chapter 44, begin reading with me in verse 13. Here the psalmist says, You make us a reproach to our neighbors, a scoffing and a derision to those around us. You make us a byword among the nations, a laughingstock among the peoples. All day long my dishonor is before me, and my humiliation has overwhelmed me because of the voice of him who reproaches and reviles, because of the presence of the enemy and the avenger. Here the psalmist lets us know shame, that humiliation that he speaks of, that dishonor, that is a wake-up call to us. God gives us that as a wake-up call to let us know that sin is there and we need to get out of that. He says, you have given me this dishonor. You have given me this humiliation. Another prophet, Ezekiel, speaks of this thing also. In the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 43. Ezekiel chapter 43, and begin reading with me here in verse 10. Ezekiel says, as for you, son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the plan. If they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the house, its structure, its exits, its entrances, all its designs, all its statutes, and all its laws, and write it in their sight, so that they may observe its whole design and all its statutes and do them. Shame here, Ezekiel tells us, shame motivates us to return to God's pattern. Know what he says. He says to tell them the plans of the temple. He says so that they may be ashamed. The plans of God ought to ashamed Israel in this instance because they're not following God's plan. When they finally discover God's plan, they ought to feel shame for what they have done. But look at verse 11. If they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the house, its structure, its exits. Shame causes us to want to go back to God's law. It causes us to want to go back to God's pattern. You know, Paul knew the power of shame. Paul spoke in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 of shame. Shame is you remember, shame is to help us understand, help us to live up to the standard that God has set for us. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 5, Paul writes to this church, he says, I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who will be able to decide between his brethren? A brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers. Why did Paul write this to move them to shame? Why did Paul want them to feel shame? Because he knew the power of shame. Shame can make people change. And if we forget how to blush, if we forget how to feel shame in our life, we're no better than Judah who fell to the Babylonians. We're no better than the world around us who constantly turns their face and does not blush at the evil around them. We need to feel shame. Sin must always make us feel shame. What examples do we have of shame working in people's lives? What examples do we have of shame in the Bible? Well, an easy example is back in Genesis chapter 3. Here at the beginning of God's creation, actually in chapter 2, at the very end of chapter 2, just as he finishes the creation of mankind, look at what's said in chapter 2 and verse 25. He says, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. God created mankind without shame. They didn't feel shame because sin was not in the picture. But look at Genesis chapter 3. I just turned away from that passage. Genesis chapter 3. Look down in verse 8. After sin has entered the picture, after Adam and Eve have fallen into sin, look at verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Sin enters the picture. Adam and Eve sin, and all of a sudden, they feel shame. Shame causes them, it moves them to action, here to an improper action, but shame moves people to action. Shame moved Adam and Eve to hide themselves. They feared. Do we have that proper fear, that proper reverence for God that we ought to feel shame, to feel embarrassed for the sin that is around us? Look back in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 51. These are the words that David penned after he had sinned with Bathsheba, a horrible sin of adultery, of murder. And this is what he writes. Begin reading with me in verse 1. He says, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." See, David was moved to shame. You'll remember the instance when Nathan came and told David of his sin, how David was moved to shame. And his shame caused him to remember his sin. Shame causes us to recall those sins and to act in a way that God requires us to act. God has set the standard. Shame helps us live up to that standard. And in the same way as Adam and Eve, shame affected them, in the same way that shame affects David, shame will affect us today if we do not lose the ability to blush. Does sin make us feel shame? If we are around sin, if we're around those who are committing sin, do we feel uncomfortable? If we're engaged in sin, do we feel out of place? Does sin make us feel shame? I'm afraid that all too often we lose our sense of shame. So the question might be asked then, where has our shame gone? As a culture, where has it gone? Have we forgotten the ability to blush? As we talked about a little bit earlier, we live in an extremely permissive society, a culture that does not have shame. We are constantly surrounded by sin. We're surrounded by sin in the movies we watch, in the music we listen to, in the people around us. But how often does that sin make us feel uncomfortable? Or do we, like Israel, do we, like Judah, play the harlot with sin? Do we dabble in sin? Do we tolerate sin? Do we belong to God but have no problem acting contrary to His will? That's a sign that we have forgotten how to blush. Have members of the church lost their sense of shame, though? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is what Paul says. He says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron." So here Paul is talking about those who once had faith. He says there will be men who have faith, who may be strong in the faith, but they will fall from the faith. And look at what causes that fall. In verse 2, he says, "By means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience." Their consciences have been so seared, so calloused over, that they no longer feel the shame that they ought to. I don't know how many of y'all play instruments, string instruments. I played the viola through high school and college. And one thing I noticed is when I played the viola a lot, I would be using my fingers on the strings a lot. And the more and more I practiced, the harder and harder my fingers got, to the point when I would play in a concert, I didn't even feel the strings. I didn't even know they were there. But the less I practiced, the more I knew the strings were there, because my fingers had become calloused. And in the same way, these people that Paul describes here, their consciences have been seared. Their consciences have been so calloused over that they no longer feel shame. They no longer care about what is wrong, what is right. They just don't feel it. They don't even know sin is there. It could be right around them, and they just get sucked in because they don't even feel it. Is that us? Do we have that kind of conscience, a conscience that has been seared over, that can no longer feel shame? Turn with me to Jude chapter 1. Jude is a one chapter book. Jude, verses 12 and 13. Jude writes, "These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam. Wandering stars from whom the black darkness has been reserved forever." So here Jude describes people. People who are engaging in this feast with you, he says. But what are they? They're clouds without water. They're clouds that just, go where the wind takes them. They're not strong. He says they're trees, but they don't have fruit. In fact, he says they're uprooted trees. They don't have that foundation. Well, note verse 13. He says they are wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam. There will be those, Jude warns, there will be those who act as if they have no shame. They just cast their shame up as if it's not there. That they aren't grounded, so they go where the crowd goes and they don't think anything of it. Do we do that? Is that us? Do we have the proper shame? Or are we following society? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Just a few more verses here. Philippians chapter 3. And read what Paul writes with me in verse 17. Paul says, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." There's a couple of interesting things in this verse. These people who have left Christ, who, as John in Revelation says, have left their first love. These people have left Christ, and it moves Paul. Paul is deeply bothered by this. He says, "I've warned you about these people before," but there in verse 18, he says, "And now I tell you, even weeping," he says, "these people have left Christ. But they are enemies of the cross of Christ." But look at verse 19. These people, what is their end? It is destruction. Just as Judah ended up being destroyed because they forgot how to blush, because they lost their sense of shame. These people, their end is destruction. Whose God is their appetite? Their own personal God. They fulfill their appetites with their own whims. They are their own God. He says their own God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame. What sets these people apart from the world? They glory in their shame. They are set apart from Christians, from the people of God, because they glory in their shame. They don't just have shame. They, like the rulers of Israel, loved their shame. They forgot how to blush. They forgot how to be embarrassed about their sin. Turn with me to one more passage in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Begin reading with me in verse 11. Ephesians 5 and verse 11. "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret." Paul said to the Ephesians, there are things that people are doing in this world that it should be a shame to you to even speak of. It should make you feel shame just to be lightly associated with these people by speaking about their sins. Do we have that kind of shame? Do we take shame in speaking about the sins of the world? If we don't, Paul says we need to feel that shame. We need to blush when we speak of sin, when we are around sin, when sin is in our own lives. Look around us. We live in a world full of sin. Immorality is glamorized all around us. It's in our TVs. It's in our movies. It's in the internet that we get on. It's everywhere. Why don't we blush? Why aren't we embarrassed to be caught up in it all? I think we need to be like Ezra. Turn with me to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 9. This is the attitude that we need to have. Ezra chapter 9, and look what he says in verse 6. And I said, "O my God, I am ashamed and embarrassed to lift up my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen above our heads, and our guilt has grown even to the heavens. Since the days of our fathers to this day, we have been in great guilt, and on account of our iniquities, we, our kings, and our priests have been given into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to plunder, and to open shame, as it is this day." Ezra said, "I am ashamed, I am embarrassed even to approach you, God. Why? Because of the sins of these people. Because of the sins of the people I'm associated with." Do we have that kind of shame? Do we have that kind of ability to blush that we feel like just because we're associated with the world in some way, that we can't approach God? Now, I understand that certainly we can approach God in boldness, and that's not my point. But Ezra felt shame. Ezra felt shame because he was associated with those who sinned. And as a result of their sin, as a result of Israel not feeling shame, as a result of them not being able to blush, not being embarrassed, he says, "You have sent the sword. You have sent destruction on this people, and you have made them feel shame. You have made them feel ashamed for the things that they have done." Have we forgotten how to blush? Have we become so callous to the world around us that we no longer feel shame? Israel did. Israel forgot how to blush. And we need to remember that example so that those things don't happen to us, the spiritual Israel of God. If sin doesn't always cause us shame, if sin doesn't always make us feel embarrassed, we'll soon be asking ourselves, where has our shame gone? What happened to our shame? When did we become so callous that we no longer recognize sin for what it was? It is a sad day when a Christian no longer recognizes sin for what it is. When a Christian can no longer look at sin and feel ashamed, feel sorry for his actions. Sin separates us from God. Sin doesn't just pop up and attack us. Sin creeps in. It gets into our lives through the culture around us. Are we on guard? Are our consciences ready to feel shame for the sin that is around us? Or are we seared? Are we calloused over? If sin doesn't embarrass us, if sin does not embarrass us, we must recognize sin around us for what it is. We must make a change so that we feel the proper shame to sin. If sin does embarrass us, we need to do something about that as well. We need to make sure that sin doesn't enter our lives. We need to let that shame help us live up to the standard that God has provided. Do we have the proper shame? If there's anything we can help you with this evening, we'd love to do that. Please come and make any needs you have known as we stand and as we sing this song of encouragement.